This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story is about Singapore.
They have a new attraction, and it's the Jewel Changi Airport. It's, you know, the world's best airport just got better. The multi-use complex has a donut-shaped exterior framed in steel and glass and connects three of Changi Airport's four terminals.
So Changi Airport has always been quite fancy, yep. Right? There is a movie theatre, there are lounges where you can play PlayStations, there's just all manner of things. And now this... The Jewel also contains more than 280 shops and eateries, including things that aren't really here, for example, Shake Shack, as well as the world's first Pokemon Center outside of Japan. But probably its main attraction for the time being is the 40-meter-high indoor waterfall called the Vortex. And the idea that they were pushing for was to create a garden within an airport, which is something that KLIA also tried.
Yeah, so there's also a lot of greenery in the airport. There are more than 2,000 trees and palms and over 100,000 shrubs sourced from countries such as Malaysia, Australia, China, Spain and the United States.
So the main thing here, I guess, is the sheer investment that they've made into this. I mean, it is designed by the same architect who designed the Marina Bay Sands.
Yep.
So they were clearly out to make a statement. And I mean, enough about the Jewel. It's clearly beautiful. But what it gets at is the idea that an airport really means something and that it is worth investing in an airport.
Yeah, so it depends on how a country wants to see an airport, right? Because I think for me, what I feel KLIA and KLIA 2, they kind of serve more as just gateways.
Terminals, yeah.
Gateways, despite the fact that this is the first thing you see the moment you land in Malaysia and also the first thing you experience. So I guess what Singapore is trying to do here is they're trying to somewhat change up the concept of airports, treating flight passengers, not just as that, right? They're treating them as guests where you can just sample a bit of Singapore without actually leaving the airport.
From a business point of view also, I think it makes a difference whether or not you are a transit hub. So
yep.
Singapore is quite, hence the four terminals. We are as well,
yep.
But I have been in transit stops where it's been, let's say, longer than 2 hours. When you get to the 3 hour, 4 hour mark, where you are starts to really matter. You know, you need a little bit of something. You need good food. You need something to look at. You need a comfortable space to sit down or walk in. And in some airports, even in some of the, you know, even in some of the major cities, they aren't necessarily that. For example, in Paris, Charles de Gaulle is terrible. It is an awful airport. Mm. I don't think I'm making a controversial statement. Anybody who's flown through Paris would probably say the same. And it does start to make a difference, I think. I wonder whether when people consider where to travel and where to transit through, the airport starts to matter.
Yeah. And whether the countries themselves, whether they care that the airport acts as a sort of symbol, you know, I think for countries that want to show that they have wealth and power, in this case, Singapore, and traditionally other countries like Dubai, Doha, Shanghai, where it does actually represent something, it's something they will eventually invest in.
And all this, I suppose, falls back to KLIA. You know, how do we think KLIA and KLIA 2 are representing our country? Let us know what you think. Do you make decisions about where to transit based on the airport? And is it very crucial, that first impression of a country? What role do airports play in that? What impression do KLIA and KLIA 2 give to us? Let us know what you think. That number to call is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Yap Yu Ping, who's the founder of Y Architects, to get his thoughts on Jewel, really, and the importance of airports. We'll be back to continue this discussion after this.
Boleh Fikir Mendalam, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're just creeping along to 6:15 in the evening, and we've been talking about the latest addition to, quote-unquote, the world's best airport. I couldn't even say that. I'm sorry. I mean, it really is one of, but I think just our natural resentment towards anything Singaporeans bubbling up. Anyway, you might have seen photos of it. It's called The Jewel. It's deeply Instagrammable. It has the world's tallest indoor waterfall. It is very, very fancy, and it kind of prompted us to wonder whether airports make an important first impression on travellers? And if that's the case, then what is the impression that KLIA and KLIA2 are making of Malaysia? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line, we have Dahlia. Dahlia, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hello, I'm actually Singaporean, and I was caught in the firestorm that was the Jewel opening. I had friends who took leave just to see the Jewel opening, and I just have to say that Singapore is really good at building infrastructure, but it is by no means an accurate depiction on the kind of prosperity and wealth that the average Singaporean is actually facing. I mean, if you think of it this way, all the great infrastructure that was built in Singapore, like the Marina Bay Sands or Universal Studio or Sentosa or fancy posh apartments in Orchard Road, are for foreigners or for expatriates mm-hmm. or for a very select group of very wealthy people. The real parts of Singapore are those who are living on, like, on a day-to-day basis. We do have urban poor in Singapore, and that's the side that tourists don't see. So while the Jewel is great for tourists, but it's not really an accurate depiction on what Singapore really is like. And I think that's the misconception when people come to Singapore and see all these fancy buildings. They always think that Singapore is amazing, it's so clean, it's so green, everybody must be doing well. But yet, if you just venture, say, 10 minutes out of the city into, say, the heartlands, you will really see how Singaporeans truly live. And we don't really benefit from that kind of prosperity, so to speak, you know? So, I mean, like, it's great that Shake Shack is around, but surely that's something that should be more appropriate than opening Jewel at Changi Airport.
It sounds to me like it's the building equivalent of Crazy Rich Asians, right? In terms of the impression that it gives people of what it means to be Singaporean or be in Singapore.
It really is. It's Singapore Inc., you know, plain and simple. Singapore does a great job in actually marketing itself as a very prosperous, safe country. Everybody's doing well. Everything is well kept, well maintained. And, you know, like, the great dynasties of the world or the great empires of the world always built something out of vanity, right? And then, of course, there's an inevitable fall after that. And I just wish that more resources would be maybe, you know, like funneled towards, say, for example, bringing tourists or expats into the heart of, you know, the towns, for example, where Singaporeans really live. And instead of, you know, building majestic and pompous, so to speak, and very vain architecture, which really serves no purpose other than just give Singaporeans a brief respite from their everyday. I know I sound very bitter, but I come from probably like an upper middle income like family, and I still feel that Singapore is very expensive for the average man. And to have Jewel, it just adds on to that whole misconception that Singapore is all hunky-dory.
Dahlia, thank you so much for calling and for offering that perspective. And yeah, I would think that it's, in a way, I mean, to draw a very, very, very loose parallel, it's kind of like Notre Dame. You know, when you see the amount of money being poured into it, either to restore a building or in this case to open and create one, I think for people who are living actual real lives and sometimes struggling to make ends meet or not exactly feeling, you know, part of that prosperity, it can feel a bit embittering.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you put that money to better use as opposed to something that's a bit more cosmetic, mostly in purposes?
Raymond says, Australia markets Papa Rich as Malaysian cuisine. I think KLIA2 passes in the food department.
Well, Raymond, let us know if you could add or subtract anything from the KLIA and KLIA2 experience. What would that be?
Well, what would it be for you?
I think if there were elements of street food that I could get from KLIA or KLIA2, perhaps that would do a bit more for the tourists who are coming into the country.
So I think for me, it really is just, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but you know what? Washrooms. I like having a clean washrooms, which in some cases, depending on where you are in KLIA or KLIA2, you can have that. In KLIA, there are some older washrooms that are still available and that are still just not the best, not the best. And I think when you're transiting through or trying to just occupy some space and time within an airport, which can be a stressful environment, you just want a bit of zen, a bit of luxe, a little bit where you can find it.
That's true, because I think the experience of flying isn't exactly chill or calming. It's quite anxiety inducing.
So what we want to know is where you stand in terms of airports and first impressions. Do you think that they are tremendously important for travellers? And also, if that is the case, then what impression does KLIA and KLIA2 make currently, especially when, you know, we're neighbours with the jewel? Call us and let us know, 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now is Yap Yu Ping, founder of Y Architects. Yu Ping, thank you so much for being on the show. What were your first thoughts when you saw Singapore's jewel?
Changi Airport, the new jewel airport, is in the social media everywhere now. Really nice. When I saw it, I thought, wow, you know, Singapore has come up with something really, really modern. Don't you think so? I think it's technologically advanced. That's what I thought. You look at it from the point of view as the entrance statement. The sense of arrival. I thought the sense of arrival is excellent. When I look at it, I say, wow, this is something that a country needs. It's about technology. Singapore is about water because it hasn't got enough water and it's telling the world that it's got very, very clean water. And of course, there's this element of sustainability. And I'm sure the storyline will go into talking about how renewable energy is being used to power the water pumps going up and down. I'm sure there's something like that. Looking at it, the clarity of the clean water coming through, and it talks about tropicality, I think this is wonderful for a country like Singapore. And Singapore is small, but the waterfall is big, you know, and I think that's really good.
So if airport design is about creating impact for the traveller, how and where should you aim to make a statement?
Okay, if you look at KLIA, I thought the entrance, if you arrive at KLIA, the sense of arrival is not so powerful. But when you depart from KLIA, the sense of arrival is more powerful, which I think the arrival is actually quite important. It must be super wow. You know? I haven't been to the world. I'm sure it has got this element. When you arrive, it must be very powerful, the sense of arrival. Of course, the sense of departure is also very important because sense of departure, it is in a space where that image will be etched in your mind, that forever you remember that, wow, Singapore has a very beautiful airport. And of course, when you are departing, you probably will end up hanging around. So you will need to have a nice environment. And I think that sort of environment is very important. And particularly at departure, I feel that When you're arriving, it doesn't matter. You're just following the signboards and just go as fast as you can and stuff like that. But at departure, you actually want to... There's a sense of eagerness, you know? Because you're going to spend a lot of time. And I think the orientation is very important. You must be orientated to where you're heading. Airports nowadays are very difficult because they are very big and long and far. You know? You've got travelators and stuff like that. But the sense of direction must be there. So an airport must give that impression at the sense of arrival. Such sense of departure, should I say. That means when you go to the airport to go away, you must have that feeling. That's why normally the departure area is very nice. So that's how it is for airports.
How do you strike a balance between imbuing an airport with cultural and national characteristics, but at the same time making it a universally appealing space? Is it really important that an airport reflects the identity and spirit of the city or region that it's in?
Yes, I think it is. But we must not be trapped in graphical representation. If it is tropical architecture, for instance, you cannot start putting Minangkabau roofs and that sort of thing, you know. If it is some roofs that you are portraying in a tropical country, it must be a reason for tropicality. It must have ventilation, for instance. That is tropicality. Not about just having the picture of a pitch roof, for instance. Then I think it's wrong. So it's just like the World Expo buildings. You know, the World Expo buildings are meant to represent a country. If the country has got some cultural things representing it, then it must be real cultural thing. It must not just be pattern making, you know. So a lot of our architecture in this region revolves around tropical architecture. Tropical architecture cannot be the old vernacular houses sort of architecture. So I think this Jewel Airport is actually quite good because it actually shows tropicality and actually functions as a modern airport. I think it's a modern interpretation of a tropical airport. So the identity of the country and region must be shown there. It could also come through colors and in our cultural daily usage of things. You know, if you look at toilet cubicle, for instance, when do you put in a hand bidet or when do you not put in a hand bidet? In our cultural traditions, we need a hand bidet. Everybody uses a hand bidet. But you go to a lot of European countries, you don't have a hand bidet. That sort of things, I think you have to take that into consideration. In fact, I would say this is our cultural identity. And when you put in a hand bidet, you put it on the right-hand side or you put it on the left-hand side. I think that speaks a lot. Say in Malaysia, for instance, we should be putting hand bidet on the right-hand side and not on the left-hand side. That sort of little moves actually shows what your culture is. You do not need to have image to say what you are. The functions of the culture will be more important. But like I say, definitely not imagery. I think that is not the correct thing to do.
Right. So overall then, what are the hallmarks of good airport design?
I think modern airports are quite well designed nowadays. The biggest thing that is going to affect us in the future would be to drive the idea of sustainability. The idea of sustainability must be drummed into everybody. So airports are one of the best places to sell such ideas. So some of the functions of airports must convey a message of such. Single-use plastics will not be used throughout the airport, for instance. How we recycle water and recycle materials, how we use water, taps should be on push buttons, you know, and the general use of materials throughout, whether they are sustainable materials or materials locally found and not imported from over the place. So I think water that can be recycled and how are they being used, the clarity of those things actually tells a lot about the country, you know, and modernity is one thing. We must live with modern life. We must have all those modern gadgets and technology infused into some of the things that we do. That, I think, we must go forward. We cannot be using old technology. And, of course, security is one issue. But I think the world is covering that pretty well at the moment. You know, and most airports will be barrier-free. So that means they would cover all the handicap situations. It gives equal opportunity to everybody. But it doesn't just stop in the airport itself. I think it should start from the car parking signboards, you know, whether it can appeal to people with impaired vision or not. Small little things like that. Barrier-free access for everybody. I think those are very, very important themes. But I think most airports are doing that anyway now. So I think it's good.
Yuping, thank you so much for your perspective. That was Yap Yuping, architect and founder of Why Architect. And that actually raises an interesting question, which is, when it comes to airports, is it more important that the visuals are striking or that it's just really functioning and a smooth, easy experience? Because for many people, I think we're being struck by the visuals of Jewel and the fact that it's so Instagrammable. And I'm sure it functions well too, but it does raise that issue, right? If most modern airports are working just fine anyway, then eh.
Yeah, and most struggle with like a legacy issue where you already build it. Can you really improve it?
Let us know how important are airports as a first impression, you know, and is function really, is function more important than form? Let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bollinger Forecasts Markets, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we've been talking about airports because Singapore, in their usual manner of, hey, here's a flex, has opened up the Jewel, which is a really beautiful space. It's got the tallest indoor waterfall and just all the shops, apparently, that you could want. And we kind of took that as an opportunity to turn the lens back on ourselves, I guess, and wonder, look, when it comes to first impressions, do airports really count? If that's the case, then what impression does KLIA and KLIA to make or give of Malaysia? And also because our guest basically said that when it comes to airports, people always value the experience more than the visual. We also want to know if you find that reflective of what you want. Call us at 7733-2900 to tell us. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line right now, we have Kamar. Kamar, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Yeah, I totally agree with what the expert was saying just now. I think the first impression is only a fleeting experience, while what you need is actually overall satisfying experience for the customer from the time you land until the time you leave the airport, or from the time you arrive at the airport until you fly off. So it has to be an efficient airport, a safe airport. So basically, it's all going to be the cake. You have to bake the cake every day, and it got to be very nice, and it's edible, beyond edible. It got to be very nice, very consistent. But all the rest, you know, the waterfall, whatever you want to have it, will all serve as icing on the cake. It gives the nice, you know, view of the cake, but in the end, the content is what matters. So you know, yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to ask you whether or not you thought KLIA is a good cake.
I would like to differentiate between the two, KLIA 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So to me, KLIA is okay lah cake, right? But KLIA 2, to me, is way far from an okay cake. Because I don't like the overall experience of KLIA 2. It's like I'm being forced to go into a shopping mall instead of going to an airport.
Mm.
Well, KLIA, especially, you know, if they get things right all the time, the train works all the time, the toilets is clean all the time, you know, everything is consistent, reliable, then, yeah, it will be a good cake. And you don't have to be, depending on your luck. For example, the prayer room on the, arrival hall is so small for the ladies, I don't know about the guys, you know, that it doesn't make sense. You know, it's so inefficient and so insufficient for people to use during peak hours. Yeah, so, and they haven't done anything about it. And like what you mentioned earlier on, some of the toilets are still the old toilets. And, you know, you don't have all of them working. And there are still many that is on the squatting version and not on the sitting down version.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's such a, you know, old type of airport that people don't like the experience of it.
Come on,
and people leave away. When they leave the airport, they remember the bad things. And sometimes, you know, on the Instagram, whatever, that's going to be fleeting moments, as I mentioned earlier on.
Yep. Thank you so much for calling. So the experience trumping the visual experience there, I mean, the actual lived going through it, it seems to be more important.
I really like the comparisons she drew as to how an experience at an airport is basically like a cake. And we're not serving the best cake. It's like the birthday cake you buy someone and at the end, no one eats it. The birthday person has to take it home.
You know, we were talking earlier about how it would be nice if airports could have a little injection of relaxation into the process. And I don't think we should discount the fact that consistency and good service give you that relaxation. When you're not constantly wondering, hey, where's my bag? Where are you taking it? What's happening? You know, when you're not stuck in such a long check-in line that you're starting to worry you're going to miss your flight even though you were there on time. These are all, I think, very valid, very genuine traveler worries that people have when they approach airports. And part of the whole thing is the service.
Yeah, I think immediately if we look at what is the first thing you experience when you land somewhere, it's definitely the baggage collection. I think that's sometimes that's something that people feel the most worried with. You don't get your bag on time, or you don't get your bag in the condition that you had dropped it off in.
Yeah. So on the subject of service, Arham says KLIA and KLIA 2 should maintain the friendliness of their staff, the smile, the welcoming gestures. It showcases the nature of Malaysians, not just focusing on infrastructure to impress others. Meanwhile, Daniel Arif says, if an airport represents the country, then Changi is just a pompous show-off to foreigners, but how much does it represent true blue Singaporeans? As for KLIA, it's a bit gritty, loud and smelly, embodying real life in Malaysia, full of character.
So Malaysians are gritty, loud and smelly.
And very pretty and modern in parts. I don't think we can ignore the fact that KLIA at its peak was just like a jewel. KLIA at its peak was really, you know, just incredibly modern. It was beautiful. I mean, it still is, I think, but it has aged a little because a lot of major airports, I guess, have gone through revamps over the last decade or so, and KLIA is not doing it in a major way. I don't necessarily think it needs it either. Just a tidying up here and there would be enough.
I actually really like KLIA, where you arrive, I think. It, for some reason, it feels nostalgic. Maybe it's the dim lights. Maybe it's the fact that it's very... The concept is that it's very open. But something about it makes me feel like I'm about to go. You know, it's not go in the sense where it's like, I'm about to go somewhere.
Yes, thank you for completing the sentence. It was a bit scary just then. So we're talking about airports, specifically, well, you can tell us what you think of Jewel in Changi, if you've managed to take a look at it, if you've managed to pass through it even. But we're talking about airports, really, and how they make an impression on travellers. Is it an important place to impose or to impress a first impression upon people? What are the impressions that KLIA and KLIA2 are making? And also, most importantly, do you take function over form when it comes to airport, because Jewel is really a lot of form. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On Twitter, Sean says, we should first improve and promote our tourism destinations. We're much more than just food and shopping. Promote our flora and fauna, beaches, cultural villages. What's the point of having a good airport if tourists are only spending an average of 3 to 5 days here?
I think sometimes what it is also the fact that we are a transit point, and that's why it is important to have a good airport, because at most some people will only spend maybe 2, 3, up to 7, 8 hours in an airport before they move on somewhere else.
Perhaps so, but we should be more than a transit point, shouldn't we?
We should.
Yeah, I think right now we are kind of a stopover between Singapore and Thailand, or between Bali and Bangkok, you know, so we should be more than that. Adnan says, Jewel, it's definitely an airport makes an impression. Same too for the highway that connects the airport to the next city, the railways, the landscape along the way. These certainly influence a good first impression of a country.
Yeah, and our next message comes from Yo, who says that Singapore Tourism Board is very smart in maximizing the investment. Rather than simply building a green space, they put the wow factor, and now everyone who goes through the airport will take a picture and post on Facebook or Instagram. Even we are talking about it. So smart, the publicity.
It is free publicity, but it is also, we are talking not just about their airport, but ours. I think that's the important thing here. KW says, what's really important for an airport is transport to and from it, comfort and cleanliness. Building the biggest ball or building the biggest ball or waterfall is just a waste of money.
Well, I think they would argue that they already have the services down pat. So the next way to improve is probably through its form.
Yes, and also they're hoping to attract locals to actually visit the place. So it isn't just tourists that they're attempting to impress, right? It's actually getting Singaporeans to drive the half hour out to Changi and spend time and money in Jewel. So there is that to consider as well. But to bring it back, we want to know, what do you make of airports and first impressions? Do they matter? What kind of first impression are our airports currently giving to travellers? And is it form over function or function over form? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to take those calls and read those messages after this.
Bulletins for managers, BFM 89.9.
Good evening, it's Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about airports because Singapore is showing off with their very latest addition to Changi Airport, the Jewel, and it's prompted us to think about airports and the impressions that they give people, and what impression we are currently making. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line, we have Winnie. Winnie, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, I think our airport is comparable to both of the airport in the world. However, this, I think, is need a bit of refurbishment, and, you know, to make sure all the equipment that they put together, and then it has to have a concept, because nowadays, I think because of the tenancy, anything goes, so it doesn't have a concept whether it should be, you know, the smell, the when you go to the airport, it should, you know, have only consistency and everything. And especially, I heard also that the KLIA also have problems with their, you know, the train system sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you need to board the bus or something. But KLIA too, like some of the listeners was saying that it's just like going to a shopping mall that you not intended. You were like forced to go to an airport with, you know, all the pathways. It's a shopping mall, actually a shopping mall in an airport or airport in a shopping mall. Mm-hmm. It should be no less crowded, but we understand that it's a budget travelers, and also it's a budget airline. So basically, it's maybe we should enhance our experience in the airport, make a refurbishment, and I applaud to all our immigration offices and all. I think we are quite okay on that. We have a lot of counters, and then people do not wait for more than, you know, about 5 minutes. I think the max is two to three minutes because there's a lot of counters. So basically, that should be continued.
So, Winnie, when it comes to your experience at an airport, right, what do you prioritize? What is the moment where you go, okay, I had a good experience?
Security. If you have been to some of the airport that you feel, you know, you feel like so many police around, and or I went to one of the ASEAN countries airport. It was in Manila, and it was, you need ticket to go in. You just cannot just go in without your traveling pass or boarding pass. So it kind of make you feel not secure. So basically, our airport is secure, then basically we, you know, people just can come in. But anyway, I think just the refurbishment should be enhanced, and also the friendliness of the staff should be maintained.
Winnie, thank you so much for calling. You can keep those calls coming too. 7733 2900 is that number. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. A message here from Adrian who says, KLIA, a good example of what third or fourth class maintenance standards and how not to maintain an airport. So some harsh words there for our national airport.
Though so far, I think most people would say that, yeah, actually, our airports are pretty okay. Just perhaps some tweaks here and there would be helpful.
Ikram Omar says, I've had the privilege to travel the world, and airports are so important as a welcoming committee, so to speak. Our trip to Istanbul, the airport was awesome. Even Ngurah Rai is nice. And Siem Reap International has had facelifts. KLIA 2 is like a mini marathon from the gate to the exit. There's nothing to look forward to but just leaving. Changi, there's curry noodles that you sort of look forward to. Comfy chairs to do work before departing. And Terminal 4, self-checkout for immigration. Yowzers.
So the takeaway from that, I think, is probably the fact that we do need to definitely improve the experience. You know, immigration staff and whoever that works at KLIA and KLIA 2, they are friendly, they are nice enough, and I think they are more than helpful enough. It's just with the other stuff, perhaps with more infrastructure in place, it would be a more enjoyable experience.
Hannah says, regarding KLIA design, impressive when I came back to Malaysia in 2010, but it's since deteriorated. Signs are not clear, immigration's hard to find, and I always see tourists getting lost. Thank God they've upgraded some of the toilets. Yes.
And that's a gripe that we've heard multiple times.
Honestly, I mean, it's just really important when you're stuck in a place that you literally cannot leave, mm-hmm. right? And you're just waiting for the next time that you're going to be forced to use a toilet on an airplane.
Yes.
You really do. It is important. I think it matters. We have a caller on the line. We have Didi. Didi, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi. So regarding the airports, I've been traveling a lot for the past 2 years, and what I've discovered is even the European airport, the American airport, they're still not up to, you know, the modern standard. And KLIA is pretty up there compared to the other airports. But the only thing that they're good at is definitely maintaining. So the thing about Malaysian airports is the maintenance is really, really bad, especially when it comes to bathroom, toilets, you know. So, yeah, that's my take on KLIA and KLIA 2.
Didi, thanks for calling. That issue of maintenance is definitely one that's coming through. Nini says, KLIA should maintain the train connecting to arrival and departure and prevent breakdowns. I experienced it once, left a bad impression. So many people were crammed into the shuttle bus.
I think one experience that perhaps I could share is that when I was in the US, I think, and I had to wait in one of the airports, all flights were said to always be delayed. So I'm thankful that we at least don't experience that here.
No, we don't. Although the situation with the situation with carriers and airports in the United States is quite another matter, yeah. right? I mean, they are in a pickle of their own. We thankfully do not have to deal with that. Bing says, KLIA is gloomy and dark. What used to be an airport for shopping is irrelevant now, but it's functional and the toilets, some of them, are brand new. KLIA 2, messy, disorganized, deteriorating, crappy. Not going to come back if I have a choice. Both are airports managed by the same company, but there's no common theme. It's like low-cost houses versus hotels.
Yeah, and I get that impression also from the other messages where they're saying that, well, KLIA 2 is basically a dash to leave. And if that continues to be the experience, you know, if that's where the first thing you see, I don't know what it will, how it will taint the experience further in Malaysia.
We have Bernard on the line. Bernard, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Yeah, I think the generally the condition of the airport needs a lot of upgrading and maintenance. But over and above that, I think the airport, most of it is catered to tourists. I mean, there are locals as well, but I think important is the first-hand experience of any tourist that comes into Malaysia. If he's not, there's no proper signage or no proper directions to where they are supposed to go, it's going to be very confusing, and that experience is not going to be very nice.
Mm.
So, for example, when you check out, when you pass the immigration, you're trying to locate your luggage. You know, you've got to search for where the TV is to tell you where the line, the bag, you know, where to collect your luggage. And recently, when I was in KLIA 2, I was trying to figure out which lane is meant for Malaysians and which lanes are meant for foreigners. It's kind of difficult. But then after I passed the immigration, I actually saw a signboard, a LED signboard to say, oh, which lanes are meant for Malaysians and which lanes are meant for foreigners. Wouldn't that signboard should be in front of the immigration to inform the people who passes through it and not after the immigration counters?
Yeah, some logical flaws there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of logical flaws kind of creates a very bad impression of how the airport is operated. And if you speak to the airport authorities, actually, the processes of immigration for KRA 1 and KRA 2 is actually managed by two different teams, and they have two different sets of SOPs.
Yeah, Bernard, thanks so much for the call. And there is a lot to also consider. I think my experience, another one with KLIA, is the fact that I find the experience with the lifts there a bit harrowing. I've been there to pick up some friends, having to park there, and have been squeezed by the lift doors more than a couple of times.
Yes, that's happened to me before. I lost some nuggets. It was a tragic day. I was very hungry. Travis says, I went to Iceland and gosh, it's the most beautiful place in the world. The mesmerizing vistas, waterfalls and fjords. But its airport is pretty basic. Should we imply that the airport reflects the aesthetic of a country? It's irrelevant. And I get that, Travis, but I also think that if you were going to Iceland, that you would have certain expectations of how beautiful it was to begin with, and perhaps not so, you know, it's not so reliant on, gosh, you know, I don't know what to expect, but the airport is comforting me.
Yeah, but I guess then looking at this point, it's the fact that we do also have very nice natural places. We do have nice places to visit, and whether then our airport necessarily has to reflect that aesthetic, then If our tourist locations, if our travel destinations say more, then does that really matter?
So we have some other messages that have come through. Is one Razul saying to compare KLIA and KLIA to which Changi is like being in a Proton Saga and being in a Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. And then we have this from Tae Su Ying.
KLIA underutilized for the size it is yet. We keep insisting on building more terminals. Just compare it to the top airports in the world and see how bustling it is. KLIA always looks empty. So what does this tell us?
Faisal says, I have to disagree with the earlier caller. I quite like the variety of shops in KLIA too. And you know what? I just have one phrase to say to that. Family Mart.
It's a point where you pick up a small snack either before you fly off or before you're about to head home. And it's an hour journey back home.
And it is quite nice having the variety. They also have a supermarket.
Yeah.
So actually, I understand, I do get that you didn't ask to be in a shopping centre, but I appreciate the convenience of having it once it's there. Ramison says, our airport infrastructure is a classic case of first world infrastructure and third world maintenance and consistency. Our airport lacks sensitivity to its maintenance. Being paranoid towards injecting new life is what Singapore triumphs over the others in the world. Evolution is key. Function and form works the best if only we have a clear direction on how we want to capitalise on being a transport hub.
And Stephen says security is an issue. And I think that is something that one of our previous callers also brought up. Another message here from Erlene, who says, Lynn, who says that definitely function over form, especially for traveling families with small children. When you've arrived at the gate and suddenly your six-year-old needs to pee, you want a nearby toilet, not half a mile away.
Yeah. Toilets, I'm telling you guys, it's a pain point for many people. Keep those messages coming. We're talking about airports and form over function, as well as first impressions. Call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.